Thursday, May 10th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. So I think throughout my work and this show specifically, I've made it very, very clear how much goes into manipulating what you're looking at on a daily basis, whether you're talking about social programming or predictive programming, or simply just cherry picking certain stories and making sure those are right up in front in the mainstream news. So that's all they're going to see on that given day. And they're going to omit the things they don't want you to see. So here we have Donald Trump pulling out of the nuclear deal. The rest of the world basically revolting against that. And then all of a sudden, immediately following that, Israel decides to start openly attacking Syria, which is barely covered by mainstream media until basically forced to cover it, likely due to independent media and their coverage of it, but now kind of giving you just the Israel version of it. So all this is going on, and it's not looking real good for the United States. And up, lo and behold, the five most wanted ISIS leaders captured, trapped using a smartphone app. This is interesting here. This seems like a very coincidental thing to happen all of a sudden after all this time and all this effort. Oh, and just pop, the five most wanted ISIS leaders happen to be captured the day after, and Donald Trump tweets about it. To me, that stands out as very suspect. But it's interesting the way it plays out too, using a smartphone app. This is one that really stood out to me. So essentially, a security advisor to Iraq's government said that Iraqi agents had detained a top aide to ISIS leader al-Baghdadi. Incidentally, someone that's been claimed to have been captured and killed numerous times over the past so many years. And then they used an app on that aide's phone to then lure four commanders from the terrorist organization into a trap, convincing the four Iraqis and one Syrian to cross the border from Syria into Iraq, where they were then captured by officials. Now, I'm sure that this is entirely likely. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me something so simple would capture them. But after all the effort that's gone into this, and how it just seems like a very weirdly placed story and kind of elementary at the end of the day. But what we're seeing here is the timing of all of this. And I mean, not even to consider the idea that ISIS in and of itself and these groups are funded, created, armed by the U.S. and the Western nations. And that's something that just kind of gets omitted in this idea where, four of their people essentially have been captured. This story to me stands out as one that is perfectly timed to not only make Donald Trump look good, but take the pressure away from all of the terrible things that just happened. And I've even seen tweets and articles going out by saying, oh, look, North Korean peace deal, three detainees from North Korea come home. Donald Trump captures four of the top leaders in ISIS. Pretty good day for a president. Yes, maybe if you just omit everything else going on, right? But this one story I wanted to point out simply because I find it very interesting the way it's timed, and the story itself just kind of stands out as very suspect to me. But I guess we have to see how it plays out. But I find it interesting, again, ISIS in general being kind of a construct of the U.S., that it seems like they just kind of tapped in and said, hey, let's take you guys in and make this look like a good day for us. Meanwhile, everyone's completely ignoring what's really going on in the Middle East. But very interesting. So moving on to the next story coming from ZeroEdge.com, Israeli airstrike in Syria was, quote, most extensive attack in decades. In what's now being described as the most direct confrontation between Israel and Iran in decades, Israel exchanged fire with Syrian and Iranian forces during a late-night showdown that ended early this morning. According to Syrian media, some 28 Israeli aircraft fired around 60 air-to-surface missiles at Syria during the exchange. Iranian lawmakers have denied the IDF's claims that Iranian forces in Syria provoked Israel by firing on their positions in the Golan Heights border area, which, again, I continue to point this out, is an illegally occupied Syrian territory. So even if they had, it would be completely justified. But we've seen Israel openly attacking Syria at least four times in the last month, completely unprovoked. So either way this plays out, I think it's pretty clear who the provocateur in this whole thing is. But once you understand what's going on in the Golan Heights, the water, the oil, everything that Israel has been trying to keep over since it was taken, I think in 67. But the point here is that Israel occupied this territory illegally from Syria and has constantly claimed it's defending itself. What we're seeing now is the very first time that Syria has opened fire in return in this area. And yet the moment it happens, oh my God, self-defense, Israel has to defend itself. It's very ridiculous to see the way this plays out and see how transparent it is when you know what you're looking for. The IDF is saying that Israel's Iron Dome defense system intercepted 20 rockets launched at Israeli targets by Syrian and Iranian forces based in Syria. While Israel has pointed the finger squarely at Iran as the instigator of the entire thing, Iran has actively and openly denied any involvement whatsoever. But we have to take a step back here before we start taking sides and understand that Israel has been caught in a lie about Iran's nuclear ambitions. It's created entirely false context in Gaza and then went on to basically murder unarmed Palestinian protesters, women and children, even two journalists, and used a chemical weapon on civilians there while Syria was being falsely accused of it. And now we're supposed to take Israel's word about Iran being the instigator? I mean, and ultimately that Iran chose this moment to attack Israel, knowing that it would cause a response and knowing that they were under the spotlight? It's just asinine. It seems similar to what we saw in Syria, where it just makes no sense geopolitically for these things to happen. And they're always trying to frame these people as these, you know, maniacs that just have no understanding of what's going to hurt them, and they just act out irrationally. And while I'm sure there's people like that, it just what we're looking at today, that's not the case. These people have shown, at the very least, that they understand what's going on and that what would happen if they were to carry these attacks out. And really, unless you choose to ignore all the facts on the table and all the recent history that suggests the opposite happened, which is what most mainstream slaves tend to do today, it's very clear that this was orchestrated by Israel and that they have made very clear this is exactly what they wanted to happen. And taking it one step further, coming from Zero Hedge as well, Iran claims Israel attack was a false flag. Mohammad Javad Jamil Nobandegani, a member of Iranian Parliament's National Security and Foreign Policy Committee, said Israel's claim was a, quote, a lie, adding that Israel's history of carrying out unprovoked attacks in Syria has been well documented, which is something we've shown many times that people seem to disregard in this particular case. And while Iran maintains last night's skirmish between the Israeli Defense Force and Syrian Army Forces was a false flag, and that IDF struck first, continuing its pattern of airstrikes and other military assaults in Syria, the IDF boasted Thursday morning that Tehran, quote, will need a lot of time to recover from the most extensive Israeli attack in Syria since 1974. Unsurprisingly, the alleged Iranian attack resulted in no casualties or damage of any kind to Israeli infrastructure, with no rockets hitting Israeli-held territories. And though the IDF says it's not seeking further escalation, the IDF says, quote, the Syrian regime will be held accountable for everything happening in its territory and is warned against any retaliatory attacks. Naturally, most Western media, like the New York Times, which has repeatedly demonstrated a fervent pro-Israel bias, opted to take the IDF at its word. But I think that is a very interesting warning to take there. They always leave these open-ended afterwards, saying that, you know, if it happens again, we won't hesitate to retaliate. It's really setting the stage for another false flag. That's what I think those are always meant to do. Or even if it's just an open-ended idea, so if they need to attack, they can always simply create the context to be able to follow through with another attack, saying, oh, they attacked us again. It's always how these things play out. And it really should not be in any way surprising for those who follow this channel, do even the slightest amount of due diligence and apply even the smallest amount of critical thinking. Interestingly enough, Brandon Turbeville from the Activist Post literally called it Israel setting the stage to attack Iran over phony claims of Iranian missile threats. He writes, over the past several days, Israel has been throwing its typical series of fits and tantrums, both to its patron in Washington and to the international community, that Iran may finally have the gall to defend itself. Of course, Iran's possible actions are not presented as self-defense, but as unjustified aggression and hatred of the settler state. Israel is typically declaring its right to defend itself, but in reality, that defense is nothing more than another act of offense in a long line of offenses against Iran. So the fact that he called this out right before it happened, which he's done a few times in the past, is very interesting, but it's something that shouldn't really shock us. They've been setting these up and knocking them down for a very long time now. And the people that don't see this are just unwilling to look at it because they don't want to see it. It's very, very apparent. And to the surprise of absolutely no one, CNN flagrantly promoted that lie that Iran was secretly planning to attack Israel. On Tuesday, hours after President Donald Trump pulled out of the Iran deal, CNN Defense Department reporter Barbara Starr rushed to publish an anonymously sourced and transparently propagandistic press release for the Trump administration and the Pentagon. In her 513-word piece, U.S. officials growing increasingly concerned Iran could attack Israel, Starr mindlessly repeated concerns by unnamed U.S. Department of Defense and Israel Defense Force officials that Iran might directly attack Israel and/or Israeli positions in occupied Syria, something that has never happened in recorded history. So that's an important point, again, to make, that it has never happened before, despite Israel continually, openly, unprovoked attacks on Syria, and that they're in a occupied area of Syria. I mean, this absurdly transparent effort is only hidden from those who actively ignore that which contradicts their worldview. If one stands back and looks at all the information, even the propaganda, it is aggressively clear that this was planned, sought after, and orchestrated. And as the countries of focus defend themselves, they cry foul and use that as the very reason to justify the attacks they initiated and further attacks. It's very malicious, juvenile even. You need to get some new material, guys. So moving on to the next story coming from Medium.com. That time John Bolton promised regime change in Iran before 2019. In July of last year, Bolton gave a speech at the Grand Gathering of Iranians for Free Iran, in which he openly called for regime change in Tehran. As the author wrote, Bolton, who is so stupid, crazy, and evil that he remains one of the only high-profile individuals on this planet who still insists that the Iraq invasion was a great idea, spoke about the need to prevent the Iranian government from achieving, quote, an arc of control through Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon. Interesting three countries to name there. He decried the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the JCPOA, claiming that Iran was still a nuclear threat under the existing agreement, and spoke glowingly of aggressive sanctions against Tehran.
There is a viable opposition to the rule of the Ayatollahs, and that opposition is centered in this room today. I have said for over 10 years since coming to these events that the declared policy of the United States of America should be the overthrow of the mullah's regime in Tehran. The behavior and the objectives of the regime are not going to change, and therefore the only solution is to change the regime itself. And that's why before 2019, we here will celebrate in Tehran. Thank you very much.
Interestingly, these Grand Gatherings of Iranians events are actually put on by the People's Mujahideen Organization of Iran, also known as the MEK, a group of a few thousand members who vocally oppose Iranian government. The MEK is widely considered a cult, using very cult-like methods of indoctrination, including exerting control over the personal and sex lives of its members and forcing them to go through weekly, quote, ideological cleansings. Previously listed as a terrorist organization by the U.S. government because it has killed Americans and has an extensive history of committing acts of terrorism, in 2012, the MEK was taken off the State Department's terrorist list by none other than Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. I think that's very revealing. Rudy Giuliani, currently one of President Trump's attorneys, led a regime change chant at another MEK event in March.
The right policy for Iran, for every good, decent government in the world, is regime change. Regime change. You. Regime change. Regime change. Absolutely. Let him hear it. Let him hear it in Tehran.
These things need to begin to come together for us and see this line of information that leads right to what's happening today. Moving on to the next story, coming from ZeroHedge.com, leaked doc reveals White House planning regime change in Iran. Just a few days after the former New York City mayor unexpectedly let it slip that, quote, we got a president who is tough, who does not listen to the people who are naysayers, and a president who is committed to regime change in Iran. The Washington Free Beacon has obtained a three-page white paper being circulated among National Security Council officials with drafted plans to spark regime change in Iran. The plan, authored by the Security Studies Group, or SSG, a national security think tank that has close ties to senior White House national security officials, including none other than National Security Advisor John Bolton, seeks to reshape longstanding American foreign policy toward Iran by emphasizing an explicit policy of regime change. A source that spoke with the Free Beacon said, quote, John is someone who understands the danger of Iran viscerally and knows that you're never going to fundamentally change its behavior and the threats against Israel and Saudis especially. That's very important right there, until that revolutionary regime is gone. The source said, adding that nothing is off the table right now if Israel is attacked. Wow, there's so much. I mean, that's interesting to understand that he openly talked about how Israel and Saudi connection to this whole thing is important to everything they're doing, which is huge. We have to understand what that really means. And then goes on to say that if nothing at all is off the table, if Israel's attacked, why would that matter in regard to U.S. foreign policy, other than the fact that they're an ally? It's very interesting and revealing. And now we see Israel claiming to be attacked. And we've already seen the United States stand with Israel and say that they have a right to defend themselves, just disregarding all of the information on the table. It's very revealing to see that play out, understanding that the real dynamic at play there, and that all had a bullseye on Iran this entire time for decades now. So that's very revealing. He goes on to say, quote, the problem is not the Iran nuclear deal, it's the Iranian regime. Team Bolton has spent years creating plans B, C, and D for dealing with that problem. Team Bolton, very weird thing to say right there when you're discussing U.S. foreign policy. President Trump hired him knowing all of that. The administration will now start aggressively moving to deal with the root cause of chaos and violence in the region in a clear-eyed way. Bolton is confident that an Iranian regime change will occur in the next 6 months. I mean, I'm sure you could make claims, and as many will, that this is either, you know, fake news, or, you know, it was just something they were entertaining, which is all very possible. But again, like we always say, standing back and taking in everything that's happened over the last 50 years to today, and especially in the last 6 months, this is very clearly what they're trying to accomplish. It's blatantly obvious. And now to see him openly talk about it, and we have John Bolton and Rudy Giuliani openly talking about the fact that regime change is their goal. How can we disregard that? How can we see everything happening right now and just assume that, oh, Iran just happened to do it, which works right into their plan? It just makes absolutely no sense. Of course it's possible, but we have to stand back and look at everything we have in front of us and make a rational decision on what's going on, independent of our political opinions. And when you do that, it's very obvious what's going on. Now, in other news, which is very important, that relates to what's going on, especially in regard to the nuclear deal, coming from ZeroHedge.com, Merkel, quote, Europe can no longer rely on the U.S. to protect it. With Europe having failed to prevent Donald Trump from withdrawing from the Iran nuclear deal, despite sending both Macron and Merkel to Washington in an attempt to persuade him, the tensions between Europe and the U.S. has escalated. And on Thursday morning, Merkel said that Europe can no longer rely on the U.S. to protect it. Literally quoted in saying, it's no longer the case that the United States will simply just protect us. Rather, Europe needs to take its fate into its own hands. That's the task of the future. Which is a very political way of basically saying that they're, in a way, stepping back from their connection with the United States. And that directly has to do with what's going on in Iran. That's a very big deal right there. And it lessens the kind of world power of the United States. One more knock to what they're trying to accomplish. And, you know, when you're no understanding what's going on financially, I mean, all of this together is a very clear sign that the power of the United States is waning. And it has to do with their actions they're taking. And I think it directly has to do with all these war hawks in his administration today. And again, I always go back to this point of asking myself, do I think Donald Trump as a willing participant in all of this? Is he just a puppet? Does he know what's going on? Or is he simply being handled? Is he being manipulated into taking these actions when he thinks they're the right ones? That's up for you to decide. But either way you look at it, we're going in the wrong direction. And this is very a big deal to see this happen. And I find it revealing also that Donald Trump actually said in his speech that everybody stood with him. Yet clearly, as we pointed out yesterday, nobody is behind this but United States, or more specifically, Donald Trump's tight circle. Everybody else generally has at least their reservations about this move. So it's very interesting to see. Moving on to the final story of the day, coming from activistpost.com, and trying to finish with something positive, and this is indeed a very positive story. Federal appeals court in Virginia rules feds cannot search electronic devices without a warrant. On Wednesday, a federal appeals court sided with the Fourth Amendment by ruling that U.S. border officials must have individualized suspicion of wrongdoing before attempting to search the cell phones and electronic devices of travelers. The decision is the latest in a series of court rulings which recognize that the rules which govern invasive searches of digital devices and data must be updated. This is an article by Derek Brose that I recommend you all read, as well as his work before this. He's really done a great job of covering how this has progressed. And we've talked about the 100-mile no constitution zone, which is, every time I even say that out loud, kind of blows my mind. But the idea that there's literally a 100-mile zone around the United States where there's, you know, your rights are frozen, essentially, that there's no constitution in effect, that the border zone rules are in effect. And then you have to understand that people actually live in that zone. So what does that mean for their rights? Very weird. But this, what's been happening is that people go through this area, or they go through the border, but anywhere in this area, essentially, and the border patrol can stop you and basically just take your phone and ask you to unlock it. And if you don't, a lot of times they just keep it. And this has been happening a lot. And there's been a lot of lawsuits. And there's even been rulings that say that they're allowed to do so. But now we're seeing a lot of different rulings come out in the opposite. And it's so great to see Virginia rule this way, because it's something, and we've seen more than one now, where they're starting to stand with the Constitution. But what we're seeing here is an actual shift in the way we're perceiving this. And I think I don't think this is going to stop it. I have to be honest. I think this is going to continue to move forward. I honestly don't think they even care. I think the federal government, in a lot of ways, feels omnipotent lately, like they've shown in a lot of their actions. So we'll see how this progresses, and we'll see if they actually stop what they're doing, because it's been ongoing for a long time. But this is a very good step in the right direction. And it just should show us that it's not hopeless. There are ways to make our way through this completely fraudulent system, which I know I don't often argue for. But when you see something like this, it does give you a little sliver of hope. But with all of this together today, when we're talking about the nuclear deal, you know, Iran, Syria, Israel, we have to begin to see what's really happening here, and how not only are we being distracted by all this nonsense, you know, where they're talking about Stormy Daniels or Q or any of the other things going on that are really drawing your attention to individuals and things as opposed to the stories themselves, we have to begin to see what's actually taking place. And that in a lot of ways, the American people, not only are the American people not involved, but it's almost like we're being directed from outside the country. And that's something a lot of people don't like to think about. But what we have to continue to do is draw attention to these things, speak up about it, do your best to get this information out, and fight for the things you believe in. Even if you disagree with what I'm saying, stand up and speak your mind. I mean, that cannot be overstated. I say it a lot, but that's all we have today. Get on your soapbox and speak your mind and state your case, but make sure it's not emotional. That's what it comes down to, is the moment you let emotion come in and, you know, kind of getting offended by things and letting your emotions rise up and control your reaction, you've already lost. State your case with facts and then be willing to acknowledge when you might not be right. Anybody should be able to do that today, and it's something that's been programmed out of us. So take that with you and spread the word, get this information out there, and fight for what you believe in on a daily basis. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.